श्री गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय हो। जन्माष्टमी महामहोत्सव की जय हो। श्री गिरिराज परिक्रमा इज वन ऑफ द मोस्ट इम्पॉर्टेंट आइटम्स ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस इन अवर लाइफ। इट इज कंसिडर्ड एज पाद सेवा ऑफ गोवर्धन। एंड एज आई मेंशन टू इन बरसाना दैट लॉर्ड शिवा एंड लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा दे हैव बिकम माउंटेन्स। Similarly, the third personality of the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Vishnu also has become mountain, that is Giriraj Govardhan. And that is why we don't climb on Govardhan. So Lord Vishnu also chose to become stone. Imagine. Lord Vishnu is the maintainer of the universe, creator of the universe. But to attain the lotus feet of Krishna and his devotees, Lord Vishnu also has become mountain out there. And that mountain is so auspicious that it has all kinds of facilities to serve Krishna. For example, it has sitting places, it has beautiful caves, it has beautiful fruits, beautiful flowers, waterfalls, small water rivulets, big rivers, water lakes, and all kinds of things that you can imagine, jadi bootis, then diamonds and emeralds and other pearls and other jewels, trees, tree shades. We'll just go on naming sitting places, gardens, upavan, everything is there in that. And to all that thing, his only aim of Govardhan is to serve Krishna. Like Balaramji is servitor Godhead, even Govardhan is servitor Godhead. So they say Parabrahma himself has come as a mountain in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And it's an integral, inseparable part of Brajbhumi is Govardhan. So small story is that when Govardhan are all personalities, some personalities are in the form of trees, some are in the form of river, some are in the form of so many things. So this personality also is in the form of mountain. His father also was a mountain, Dronagiri in Himalayas. And he was born, he was very beautiful, filled with all jewels and all the herbs and all auspicious things. He was shining effulgently. And after a few days, one rishi comes, Pulatsya Muni. Pulatsya Muni is very powerful rishi, yogi. He can multiply himself in 9 forms, the maximum number of forms a living entity can multiply oneself is 9 times. When Ravan had that Siddhi, he also was multiplying 9 times and he was the 10th one. So, he came there from Kashi, and Kashi has no mountain. Kashi is a flat land. And mountain is required to perform bhajan. There are many beautiful places for performing bhajan. One is the bank of river, the bank of ocean, and the bank of pond. Then in a village, in a forest, and on the top of the mountain also. Very suitable for performing bhajan. So when he saw in Himalayas a beautiful mountain, he thought, I must have this mountain in Kashi so I can perform my bhajan. So he told his father, I want to take your son. And the father fainted unconscious. He couldn't believe that he had to part with his son. But Govardhan was immediately ready, like Nityananda Prabhu, I told you, instantly ready, because he knew that he had to go to Vrindavan. And then finally, how to deny a sadhu, Pulatsya Muni. But Govardhan tells that I have one condition, if you carry me, see how powerful the sadhu was. That time Govardhan was supposed to be 1 crore miles high in the sky. Not like today, what you see. And then by the will of his own will, he reduced himself to a good number of size, I mean reduced size. And he said that you carry me, that means Pulatsya Muni was able to carry him, right? In Satya Yuga, in the beginning of creation. He said, you carry me, but if you drop, keep me down somewhere, then I will not move from there. He said, there's no need of me keeping down. I don't have any, I have controlled all my urges, so I can carry him wherever I want. So no problems. So he started moving from Himalayas down all the way to Kashi. And on the way, he came across Sri Vrindavan Dham, which where Krishna is going to perform his pastimes in future, not that time. But eternally Vrindavan Dham is Vrindavan Dham, as divine and spiritual as it is. And there, as soon as he comes, he develops the urge for urination, which otherwise is not affected by the urge. So he could not even think what he has decided, what he has thought, and immediately he just puts the mountain and runs to answer nature's call. And then he comes back and wants to lift him up, he can't lift him. So he said, I told you, if you keep me down, then I cannot be lifted again. I will be staying there only. One nice point comes to my mind here, that the yogic power of the yogi to control all his senses is overpowered by the devotional power of a devotee. The devotee had an urge to stay and serve in Sri Vrindavan Dham in Radha Krishna's pastimes. So his urge to serve Krishna was more powerful, which overwhelmed the sadhu from his yogic power of controlling his senses, and he failed. So becoming very upset and angry, he cursed him that you will sink in the ground by the size of one mustard seed every day. I curse you like that. He said, I am very happy to accept the curse, but I will not move from this place. And he stayed there only, waiting for Krishna from Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga and end of Dwapar Yuga. End of Dwapar Yuga, Dwapar Yuga also is very big. 8,64,000 years is Dwapar Yuga. So 4,32,000 years is Kali Yuga. Multiply by 2 times is Dwapar Yuga. Multiply by 3 times is Treta Yuga. Multiply 4 times is Satya Yuga. Together is 10 times. And that is 43,20,000 years. So he has been waiting from Satya Yuga. I don't know how many years, you can multiply that. So many years is waiting. And every day he is sinking. One mustard seed size. And then Krishna comes to perform his pastimes. Sorry, before that Treta Yuga, Hanumanji comes. Hanumanji searching for mountains to fill in the gap of Setu. And his job is that as early as possible, because Sita Devi has given a limit that within 1 month now, if you don't come, I'll kill myself. I'll not survive anymore. So they were counting days, you know, that in 7 days they must finish the bridge and in whatever. So first of all, 1 year she was there last year, and she declared from there again, 1 month if you don't come, I will die here. So they were really hurry. Hanumanji was really searching for big mountains. Minimum time, maximum number of, you know, sizable stones should be brought. And he was making big mountains. He was searching in the sky, and he saw this beautiful mountain, you know. And he got down, and he immediately wanted to lift it. There is no question of any etiquettes, you know. He is an emergency. He couldn't lift it. No mountain that is not possible that for him, he could not lift. Every mountain he lifted. He got down, and he could not lift. So he wondering, let me see from how big is the mountain on each side. So he started going like we were doing parikrama. We are going like this, no. And we are watching that mountain is becoming narrower and slower, no, smaller also. So he started going to see the extent of the mountain, and Giriraj was growing from that side. Whichever side he was going, the farther the mountain was growing. Then he came on this side and started flying this side. And this side also he was growing and growing and growing, could not find the end of the mountain. So that time Hanumanji understood he's a divine personality. So he bowed down, offered his dandavat pranams and inquired, please tell me who are you? So he said, I am Giriraj Govardhan. I am waiting here to serve my beloved Lord. So why have you come here? Why want to lift me? So in brief he told the story of how Sita was kidnapped. So immediately he became light and Hanumanji could lift him. So even Hanumanji, who is in Dasya Ras, no? He is in servitude. And Giriraj is in servitude, but his mood is, his service is in every rasa. He is also a very unique personality like Balaramji. He is in Dasya Ras, serve the Lord. But he is participant of Shringar Ras, participant of Vatsalya Ras, participant of Dasya Ras, participant of Shantar Ras, everything. Dasya Ras, everything is participant. Very unique personality. So Hanumanji also couldn't lift him. So his power of devotion was also higher than Hanumanji. So then Hanumanji lifted him and flew in the sky. And that time, as soon as he went high in the sky, the announcement took place. The bridge is complete and no more stones are required. So he had to bring him down back again. And when he heard that, he started crying bitterly. I waited for so long and now my Lord called me for service. Even that service is going away from me. So Hanumanji was totally bewildered. What kind of devotion he has? Such devotion he was so much mesmerized with. And he went back and told Ramchandra everything about this mountain. And Lord Ramchandra knew that his devotee Govardhan is waiting there. So he said, I'm sorry, please convey the message. After the whole thing was over, Hanumanji came back to give message. And the message was, I'm very sorry, I could not accept your service. But I promise you, when I come as Krishna, I will take your services in such a way that all my most confidential, intimate pastimes, I will perform around you, on you, in you, around you, everywhere. In you means in the caves. His caves were used for meeting Radharani personally. Beautiful pastimes, hide and seek games with the coward boys. So the Brajavasi punch in this story is there. All of Brajavasis, you know, they always have some their unique punch in the story. So they say that there was a 7 course gap in the setu when Hanumanji was searching, and this mountain was exactly 7 course that time. So he wanted to go and fit him there, but somehow that couldn't take place. Before that only they finished. So that is why Krishna lifted him for 7 days and 7 nights above his head. He was so happy with his mood that he gave him position as his chhatra on his head, and that too he only held himself. So it's a very wonderful Das. Das wants to be always at the feet of the Lord, but he lifted him over his head and kept him for 7 days and 7 nights. So this is the story of Govardhan, how in brief how he came to Vrindavan and how he is a eternal devotee of the Lord. So then, you know, in the course of time, when Krishna performed his pastimes and he became 7 years old, one day he came to see that his father was very, very busy in preparing for some big sacrifice, and everybody in the village was busy. Like, you know, we have Govardhan Puja, how everybody is busy in getting things and cooking, and so many cooks and so many things and so many materials are brought. So like that, at the time of Nanda Maharaj, he was so wealthy, so everything was so opulent, everything was brought ready. And Krishna came playing and he asked, so what is happening? Why we are running around like that? He said, no, every year we worship Indra, because Indra gives us water by rains, and then there are grass, there are grains, and there are cows graze on that, and the cows give milk, and we make dahi, and we make butter, and then we sell, and we make money. So all our sustenance is because of the mercy of Indra. So Krishna was listening very carefully as a small child. And after listening everything, he said, we don't have to serve Indra, because all the demigods are supposed to do their duties. Whether you give them oblations or give them their offerings or not, they are employed servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they have to give water, earth has to give crops, and vayu has to give air, and sun has to give light and heat, and everything will happen. They are not depending on our offering to them. They have to serve. And by the way, we shouldn't serve a demigod like Indra. We should serve Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by the way, our maintainer is not Indra, our maintainer is Govardhan. See, Govardhan is giving us pearls, Govardhan is fruits, grains, every single thing that you want, even the beautiful grass for the cows is given by Govardhan. So why should we worship Indra? We should worship the all-encompassing personality who gives us everything instead of only rains. So he said, no, small child, you know, he is somehow becoming very ziddi. So he said, okay, no problem, we will also worship Govardhan and we will also worship Indra. He said, no, why to make double arrangements? So he said, no, first we will worship Indra, then immediately we worship Govardhan. So no, why to make double arrangements? Then he said that, finally he was like, no, nobody could actually displease Krishna in Vrindavan. However small he was, however big they were, they couldn't just go displeasing Krishna. So finally he convinced them. There's a big philosophical discussion between Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. What is that? Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Very wonderful philosophy, Krishna. And finally convinced. Work is worship. That is a false philosophy. But he convinced somehow Nanda Maharaj that we should use all these current arrangements to worship Govardhan and not Indra. And then everybody just agreed and then they started worshipping. And he said that every single item should be made into mountains of size. Every item should be in hills. Rice hill and sabji hill and laddu hill and chakli hill. And everything was... And all the liquid should be filled in ponds. So there was ponds and ponds of all rabdi and all kinds of liquid preparations and mountains of all rice and sweetmeats. And he described it in detail what he wants. And the amazing thing was every Brijavasi used every single ingredient in their house. It's not like for today's lunch we'll have one mop of rice and 2-3 mops of wheat. every single grain that he had in the house is utilized. You can see the surrender to please Krishna. They never thought tomorrow what we'll eat. If you finish every grain, every spice, everything, then tomorrow what we'll do? They never thought about it. They just fulfilled Krishna's desire. And everything was utilized by them. Everything was finished. And there were mountains and mountains and mountains of preparations. And they carried them in bullock carts and placed them at the feet of Govardhan. And then finally, Krishna led all the Brijvasis to Govardhan. And then he said, let's go and do parikrama of Govardhan. And Krishna did parikrama of Govardhan. The first parikrama of Govardhan was done by Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So we should worship Govardhan by doing circumambulation. And after that, again they came to the same place. They were not tired like us. They were very happy. They were very blissful. They were singing songs and they were playing music and dancing. Cowherd boys and cows and peacocks. Everybody was having great fun and they came back. And then in front of everybody's eyes, Krishna was within them. A 7-year-old boy. And Krishna became Govardhan Mountain. A huge personality in front of them. He was there also, he was here also, he was there also, he was here also. And then when they offered the bhoga, he just, you know, like how we pick up one morsel and put in mouth, how we pick up one laddu and put in mouth, like that he picked up the mountains and put in his mouth. And within few seconds he finished every single thing. That was many big mountains. Like a morsel of grain, he finished one after another everything. And he was asking, give me more, Aniyor. There's a village there called Aniyor, where he was shouting, Aniyor. And then everything was finished. There's not a single grain available in the whole Vrindavan Dham. And then they offered Tulsi leaf to him. And he was very satisfied. And then he reproduced all the mountains in the same place as they were before. And then Krishna as a mountain, he disappeared. And then Krishna as a baby declared to them how to distribute these grains, prasadam. So he told them, give to the cows, give to the Brahmins, and then give children and give old people. And that's how he, in detail he explained them. And everybody had very great fun. And when they came back to their houses, they also found their storehouses were also full as before. They used everything, but it's also there present over there. This is devotional service. When we give Krishna, we should never feel that we have lost something. You will be given in abundance, in multiples of that. Even that fruit vendor came, she gave fruits to Krishna, and he parted with some grains, and then she saw all the fruits were given by her to Krishna, and the basket was filled with jewels and ornaments, which was like multiples of times of whatever she must have deserved to get back for that, those fruits. So then, when these happy occasions were there, it was the most happy occasion. Even when we celebrate Govardhan Puja in the hospital, you know, every department cooks each items in mountainous forms. And there are many big mountains are made in the month of November. Everybody is so joyful that day. Believe me, that festival is a full festival of joy. Whenever that takes place, everybody is just filled with happiness. And nobody thinks how much I have spent and how much I should not spend and who has spent what. They are simply blissful in distributing, making and distributing. And that day we have seen that whoever wants whatever number of servings, whichever item they want, is never a less. You will never find anything less. In Govardhan also, in front of Govardhan, we cooked in the whole day, previous day, and we offered next day, right in front of Govardhan. And that day, other times we have to go and ask for second serving, they will say, no Prabhuji, there are limited, hai, you know, ek hi sab, sweet, ek hi hai, aisa. That day, that means happened 2-3 times, but every time they would come with choices items to you, Prabhu take, and everybody is there with 2-3 plates, you know, and they are just trying to keep dry items which are takeable home in one plate, and which are wet items eatable now is one plate, and that also 2 plates, so rice here and something here and something here and something here like that, and everybody is like sitting with 3 to 2-3 plates, you know, and the servers are coming and begging you, please take. That is the beauty of this festival. Abundance, samruddhi, complete samruddhi. And the way you give, that's how you will become also samruddha, while prosperous, while doing this festival. But while this happy festival is going on, someone was very unhappy. This is the nature of the material world, you know. Material world, somebody has to be unhappy. You do whatever you do. Do the greatest thing, greatest charity. But someone feels bad about it, someone feels envious about it, someone feels competitive nature, and you know, in material world, whatever good you do also, there is some pain there. That is the nature of the material world. So Indra is very angry there. See, these villagers, they dared to listen to a small naughty boy who talks too much. A talkative naughty boy who is simply foolish boy, you know. And they have listened to him and they have cancelled my puja. I am Devendra, I am the king of all demigods. I give them water and because of me they survive. All their maintenance is given by me. I am the root cause of all the maintenance. Now how dare they can do this? They are all elderly men. So I must teach them a good lesson. He could have thought in a very peaceful manner, getting angry and given them a proportionate kind of punishment if they wanted to. But anger is something which, you know, makes you lose all your intelligence, sense of rationality, sense of logic. Everything is lost. Everything that you have when you get angry is lost, at least for temporary time. So he said, Samvartaka, clouds, come here right now. Samvartakas were not prepared to come because Samvartaka clouds are utilized when time of devastation comes. Mahapralay, not just Pralay. I'm sorry, Samvartaka clouds are coming not in Mahapralay. Mahapralay is just absorbed by Vishnu. But Samvartaka clouds come when there is one cycle of four yugas get over. Satya, Treta, Dvipan, Dvapar and Kali. Samvartaka clouds flood the earth with water by rains. You know, 100 kilometers of rains above the ground. We get floods, maybe you get knee deep or waist deep or chest deep water and you are walking through that. So you say, oh, too much of floods. If you imagine 100 kilometers of water on earth, that causes devastation. Whole life is destroyed, earth remains, and then after that 100 suns come and give heat, evaporate the water and new life begins at the beginning of the day of Brahma. This happens in the night of Brahma and it keeps on raining for whole night of Brahma. 12 hours of Brahma. You want to calculate? Please write down. Write down, I'll tell you right now. 43,20,000 years is 12 hours of Brahma. 23,20,000 years is 12 hours of Brahma. So this much time there is rains by Indra and those are poured by Samvartaka clouds. So they were not ready because it's not time for them. So they said, my Lord, why are you calling us right now? So don't ask any questions. Go right now and destroy that Brajbhumi. Everybody should be killed. The cows and the coward men and the women and the men. Everything should be destroyed completely. So they were still arguing with him. He said, no, yes, I am coming behind with you. Just go ahead. So they had to obey the order of their master. And started pouring. And they, when we get rains, we get a drop. Maybe a line of drop coming. You know what is musal? Balramji holds musal. When we spice, you know, pound our spices and make it powder, it's very big. And not like Kali Yuga musal, you know. Every drop was of that size, falling from the sky on the ground, hitting the ground and smashing everything. And within seconds, there were floods and the cows and the calves and everything was just flooding. Just flowing and going away from their houses. Everything was, houses were going and calves were going. So they had to hold their children and everything like that. And within no time, everything was about devastation completely. And they called, Krishna, Krishna, please save us. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhav. Where are you, Krishna, Balram? Save us, save us. You can imagine, the same Krishna has misguided them in one sense, right? They were doing good job and they were told something else and they read that. So you actually should get angry with Krishna, no? Because of you all this happened. We told you, listen to us. You are a foolish boy. You have spoiled everything. Our lives are in danger now. Your current karma mimamsa philosophy is destroying our lives now. No, they are not thinking like that. Whatever Krishna says is ultimate word. Huh? So they are calling him only. Please protect us. And Krishna said, come behind me. Now again they could argue, no? Why you have to come behind you? Where are you going to take us now? Already because of you this happened. Now where are you going to take us? What is happening? Just following him. They are carrying their calves and pulling their cows and children and everybody is just following Krishna. The whole village of Vrindavan Dham is following Krishna. There were millions of gopis, millions of coward men, millions of cows. Everybody was just following Krishna. And he took them at the bottom of Govardhan. And even Ladini will tell you what's going to happen next. Ladini, what is going to happen next?
After Samvartaka clouds started pouring rains.
And Krishna went to Govardhan and then what happened? See, Hari Bol. Even the children know today. But the beauty of the whole story is that no Brijvasi knew this. What is he going to do next? They had so much faith that our Krishna is all powerful. He will do everything. So till the moment he went underground, they didn't know what he is going to do. Till the moment he actually lifted the mountain, they never knew what he is going to do. So for them it was the greatest of surprise. Today even in drama takes place, children will say, now see the pulley, they will pull on the pulley and the mountain will go up like that. And everybody will clap, Arivo, like that. But that time, it was life and death situation. They were all dying actually. They were in the verge of death. Any moment they all would have died. And in that condition also, their faith in Krishna did not waver. And they were observing, and Krishna, like a small boy, lifts a mushroom on the ground. How much weight is this mushroom? Maybe a few grams. The child will lift like, you know, fun, and like that he lifted the whole mountain. People are asking, what is this Krishna lifting mountain? It's all myth. It's all nonsense. Are Pulatsi Muni, the insignificant part and parcel of Krishna. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. That personality lifted that mountain 3 yugas before. How big it was. I have the size, I've forgotten now. It's miles and miles and miles tall in the sky. And the width and the spread breadth, and you cannot imagine how big it was. That was lifted like a balloon, you know, lightest balloon by Pulatsi Muni. And he carried, he just didn't hold in one place seven, like, you know, how the weight lifters are only holding that weight. they just bang it on the ground. That is their weight lifting. Pulatsi Muni is carrying from where? From Himalayas all the way, walking with the mountain, like, you know, a child is walking with some balloon in the hand. And Krishna lifted the mountain, which is much, much smaller, much, much lighter than what Pulatsi Muni lifted. And Pulatsi Muni is supposed to be his insignificant part and parcel. So what Krishna has to, why Krishna has to make an effort? He can just make it float. He is making so many universes float in the sky. They never fall down, you know, on your head. So imagine, what is difficulty for Krishna? If you know Krishna as a small child, then you may have many questions. But if you know Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, then no questions are required to be asked. So Krishna lifted like that. And after lifting with hand first he lifted like this by palm. And then he tossed it around and put it on the fingertip. Huh? Why only this finger? Any idea? Why not this finger? Why not 2 fingers? Why not palm? Why not shoulder like this? Why not kohni like this? Because this left finger of the left hand is the weakest part of your body. Just think, what you can do with this finger? You can even lift something like this with this, but you have a little more difficulty in lifting with this. This is the weakest part of anybody's body. So he lifted that mountain and held it for 7 days and 7 nights. And defeated the highest power of Indra, that is Samvartaka clouds. That is the maximum power that Indra has to send Samvartaka clouds. So he told Indra that your maximum power is insignificant power for me. I am just lifting it like this only. And with no effort, he was not sweating, panting and breathless while doing that. He was just happily holding it like a mushroom. And he was looking at his friends nicely, gazing at them. And then there was only a tip of the last finger that was touching Govardhan. And Govardhan tolerated all the atrocities of Indra for 7 days and 7 nights. Can you imagine the rains they were, the way they were causing hahakar. Hahakar means devastation for the Brijvasis. It was all continuing on Indra, on Govardhan, and tolerated all that. And lo and behold, what happened? He was not suffering. He was not crying. He was not in agony. He was not in pida. He was simply enjoying. His hair was standing on end in ecstasy. Why? Only because of one reason. That fingertip was touching him. Krishna's lotus fingerprint, the divine lotus fingerprint, was constantly in touch with him. That was giving him all the divine ecstasy. And the divine ecstasy was so powerful that it did not make him even iota affected by all the atrocities of Indra. So that is a message for us. That even if we are suffering and miserable in our life, if we are in ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti, nothing will appear to be affecting you. You will still appear blissful while going through the most worst kind of situation in life. And then 7 days, 7 nights, and it is explained that Krishna performs pastimes, one pastime at a time. either he is with cowherd boys doing cowherding pastime in the forest, or he is with gopis in the evening performing Raslila, or he is at home with mother drinking breast milk or eating bakhan and having vatsala lila with them, or he is playing like that. So each group at one time. But Govardhan Lila, 7 days and seven nights under that one roof, under the one umbrella, what happened was, all his different kind of devotees came together. The cowherd boys were there, the cows were there, the peacocks were there, the birds were there, mother was there, elder gopas were there, gopis were there, elder brother was there, everybody was there. And simultaneously and expertly, Krishna performed Lila of all rasas together while being there. And he was gazing all, see, you can imagine his left hand holding the mountain, right hand holding the flute. And he was looking so beautiful. And 7 days and seven nights, nobody asked for water, nobody asked for food, nobody was tired, nobody felt sleepy, nobody went to sleep, nobody had this break and that break, and this recess, that recess. They were simply observing him. How it was possible? Because one of the extraordinary qualities of Krishna is his beauty. Rupa Madhuri is exclusive beauty that Krishna has, when Vishnu's, even the other Vishnu incarnations don't have that kind of beauty. And they were with their eyes simply drinking the beauty of Krishna. The Rupa Madhuri was being drunk by them constantly, and because of that never felt hungry, never felt thirsty, never felt sleepy. And they didn't even do anything to do any day-to-day activity. They were simply looking at him. And one can look at Krishna and be satisfied. That is the proof of that. And while he was gazing at every living entity was under the mountain, and he suddenly saw Radharani, and they met with eyes, and they were like, you know, becoming red and blushing. All the conjugal love was erupting from their hearts, and suddenly Krishna noticed that my elder brother is looking at me. So Krishna looked down. So Sinaji, that posture, is always looking down in respect to his elder brother while being in Govardhan Lila. And all kinds of things took place. You know, I mean, hours and hours will take place. But in short, I'll tell you a few things. That the cowherd boys, they never knew his Lord. Nobody knew his Lord. So they are thinking, oh Krishna, since morning you are busy, you are lifting the mountain, you must be hungry and thirsty. Mother is saying, please take some butter. And she's saying, you have not taken the morning meal, you have not taken the sweet meats, please take it. And his friends are telling, oh, your hand must be paining. You want me to change the hand? I mean, we'll hold it and you can change your hand. It's paining, but he's still holding. So the other boys are saying, no, we'll give him support to the hand. And then Sudama is telling, yesterday I defeated you in the wrestling match, you know. So definitely I'm stronger than you. So let me hold for some time, and you can hold for some time afterwards. And the older man thought, oh, such a small boy, you know, left hand, so painful. We'll give support by our sticks. And they all were supporting the mountain by the sticks, and they were thinking genuinely that actually we are holding. He's just holding for the namesake. And then Krishna tilted the mountain. And they all were like swear, and then they understood, oh, we are not holding, he's only holding. And so many things took place, and Radharani and gopis were thinking, Sudamaya was thinking, see, I make special butter for him. From 100 special cows whose milk smells like lotus flowers, they're called as Padmagandha. They are fed grass which is also smelling like lotus flower. That grass they eat, so their milk smells like lotus flower. Then she makes dahi, then she makes butter, and the butter smells like lotus flower. Padmagandha river, Padmagandha cows and Padmagandha butter and Padmagandha ghee and Padmagandha yogurt, everything Padmagandha. Because I feed him with so much of efforts, he has got all the strength in the world. This is what she is thinking. And our cowherd boy is thinking, every day we give him practice for wrestling. We defeat him, but we train him very well. And because of all the training, today he is able to lift the mountain. And the gopis are saying, no. They are also listening to these discussions. Gopis are saying they don't know the secret. They are all, you know, anyway, let them think whatever they want to think. But we know the real secret. The real secret is what? Radharani is looking with her sidelong glances at the bottom of Govardhan, and that is helping the Govardhan being lifted. And Krishna thinks that he is lifting, but actually her sidelong glances are lifting it and making it weightless for Krishna, and Krishna is just holding his finger under it to show people that he is holding it. So then there was a discussion between the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls. He is saying, no, we taught him wrestling. No, she is looking at it, and then saying, okay, we will confirm it in future, let us see. So we'll just take a side break of the katha. Well, the pastime was over, many days passed away, and the cowherd boys met the cowherd girls, and they asked, "So, what about that particular statement that you made, that she was lifting it by her sidelong glances? Let us see now." So then they bring Radharani at Govardhan, and Radharani looks down like this, and looks up like this, and the Govardhan goes in the sky. She's looking like this, and Govardhan is in the sky. Is it enough now? Okay, she looks down. And the mountain comes down. So her sidelong glance has much, much more power than Krishna also. Which can mesmerize Krishna, which can purchase Krishna, which can make him appear like a fool, a madman. One sidelong glance, you know. So that happened afterwards. Anyways, many, many, many things took place under the mountain. And there is a big, big, big description in the scriptures. And then finally, 7 days and seven nights. Samvartaka clouds, the maximum power of Indra, they got exhausted. They had no more water in them to pour. They were like, you know, they came like this big balloon, like bloated up, and they became like flat balloon, you know. And Indra also was there. Pour more from top. He was like ordering them. And they were like completely sweating day and night. And then and Indra came to understanding, 7 days, seven nights. Maximum power is exhausted. Still nothing happens to this mountain. It's still being held. And everybody is enjoying down. They are not like, tension mein abhi kabhi khatam hoga. No, what will happen? They are not waiting for the rain to stop. They are all having, they thought that the rain should never stop. Before they were thinking when the rain will stop. When they were under Govardhan, they were thinking rain should never stop, because they never could enjoy such pastimes together. All five rasas, five kinds of people together under the mountain, exchanging beautiful loving exchanges and interacting between them. Like when the cowherd boys are talking about Sakhyaras, they are saying that we have taught him wrestling, and they are being heard by the gopis, and gopis are arguing with them. All this happening together. So who wants to give up this kind of enjoyment? But still, everything has to come to an end. So then, it stopped raining. He came to senses. He must be Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can defeat my power like this? Only Supreme Lord can be defeated. Defeating my power. So he stopped the rains. And then when the rain stopped, Krishna said, "Now I am keeping it down. You all get down. Get out." They were not willing to get out first. They said, "No, please, please see. There is no rains here." And they all came out, and Krishna very beautifully kept the mountain down. And then Indra was like so repentant. He realized that this boy is not a boy. He's Supreme Lord, my master. So he, what to do? He was like, he became very depressed. You know, when he come to know a realization that I have done a blunder, not a mistake. So he didn't have any face. So he went back to his kingdom, and he just hide himself. He just closed himself in closed room. And then he was crying and repenting and crying and repenting. And then he thought, I must go and meet my guru. So he went to Brihaspati, and he narrated everything. He said, Brihaspati said, "You have done a biggest blunder. It's unpardonable. I don't know what will happen to you." So he said, "My hope was Brihaspati will do something." He said, "Okay, don't worry. I have one solution. You cannot go to Krishna on your own. You will not have any audience from him. You make approach a Surubhi cow, whom Krishna loves very much. He has named his kingdom after the cows. And if she gives shelter to you, and she recommends you to Krishna, he may look at you and consider something." Now, in story it is very nice, you know, he came to, went to cow, and cow came and recommended, and everything was finished. You can imagine Indra's embarrassment. The king of demigods, he has to come down to a cow, bow down to her, fall at her feet. You know, what kind of, you know, crushing of ego is this, you know? You have to give up all your position, all your ego, all your pride, all your influence. Everything has to be forgotten and bow down to a simple cow who gives milk. And the cow was so kind. She never said, "Why you do it like this? You are arrogant, you are impudent." She was very, very happy. And he came down all the way from Swargaloka, from Brihaspati Loka. And then he went down, and then he met the cow and offered dandavat to her. Told all the story of the heart. Dard bhari kahani, iske dil ki batayi usne. So she, then after a few days of the whole pastime, Krishna was just, you know, inspecting the kind of damage that took place in Govardhan. Because some part of the land was covered by the Govardhan. Other parts of the land, the rains were still, devastating rains were falling on that. So observing, inspecting, you know, kya ho raha hai, how much damage was there. At that time, by the way, I forgot to tell you one thing. When he was still holding the mountain, Indra actually came down with his five trunked elephant, Airavata, and wanted to beg pardon there only. But when he came on this side, Krishna nicely looked at this side. Then he came from that side. Then Krishna looked at this side. So he understood that I have no scope to go in. Then he went and got depressed. So then he came down. Airavata was already standing there. And he came down walking on the barefoot. Because in Vrindavan Dham, they cannot wear their footwear. They have to leave it behind. And then she brought him at Surubikund, where we went. Is a place. First he actually offered his dandavats to her and Krishna at the place where he, there's a place was there, when nice structure was there. There he surrendered actually. And as Surubikund, Surubi took him to Krishna when he was observing there and pleaded his case. He is repentant, please forgive him. And then Krishna first time looked at him and chastised him. That you people are given powers by me and you become proud and you disturb my pastimes. So Krishna was, Indra was very repentant because he actually disturbed Krishna's pastimes. But actually, Krishna was happy within the heart. Because this pastime took all the Brajvasis together under one roof. And Brahma stole the cows, he separated all the cowherd boys and cowherd cows and babies away from Krishna. Caused them separation, given more pain. And when Indra did his pastime, he brought everybody together under one roof. And they had real good time in whole Krishna Leela. This was the best time they had together. So anyway, then he pardoned him. And then Indra thought that I must do some service to him. So he said, we want to perform Abhishek for you. So Krishna agreed. And then you can imagine when demigods decide to do some Abhishek, what kind of opulence they must be having. You know, they got best things from their kingdoms. Vayudev got umbrella. Varundev got a singhasan. I remember two things, but every loka of demigod has something which is very unique with them. Like the umbrella of Vayu is something which unmatchable, even Indra doesn't have that umbrella. The singhasan that Varundev has, nobody has it. So the best of their things they got from their kingdom, from their lokas on earth, and they placed Krishna on that. And then this Airavat had five trunks. There is something called as Akash Ganga and Prithvi Ganga and Patal Ganga. The same celestial Ganga comes to Swarga first, then comes to earth afterwards, and then comes to go to Patal Loka and delivers everybody and then goes back. So Akash Ganga, the celestial Ganga waters, were picked up in the trunks by Airavata. And what we can imagine, our elephants is not like that. He is like another loka only, his size is. So in his trunks, he filled five trunks with water of Akash Ganga and brought down and poured in Airavata Kunda. Now Airavata Kunda is not anymore there. It's disappeared on the face of the earth. Gathered the water there. Apsaras got water and there's Apsara Kunda. And so many different lakes were filled. Eight main Apsaras came from Swargalokas, you know, Ramba, Urvashi, Minaka, like that. And they all got their jewels and best of the things, whatever they can afford and they can impress the Lord with. They all brought it down and they performed a grand ceremony of Abhishek for Krishna. Surubi cows were pouring their milk on one side and Airavata was pouring the Akashganga water on one side. And that was all collected and was gathered in Govind Kunda, the place where we went. Where we saw the Govardhan the most closest, that is where it was gathered. So what is Govind Kund? The Charanamrut of the Lord. And then there was glorifications and all these Vedic mantras were being sung by the demigods and there were dances being taking place. Simultaneously when Krishna was being bathed, there were demigods dancing, singing, playing instruments and chanting Vedic mantras and all kinds of best things were being taking place. And Abhishek got over, Krishna took blessings, he took blessings of Krishna, drank Charanamrita of Krishna, Indra, and happily forgiven by Krishna, he went back. Krishna warned him, don't do it again. And all these things were observed by little coward boys. That big people came, you know, some had five heads, some had four heads, some had eyes on whole body, that is Indra. And they were describing, they were like, you know, aghast with their, you know, totally mesmerized to see that glory in Aishwarya. They went back home and told their fathers that we saw this. The fathers saw, they are all children, you know, they are talking some stories and not true. But they brought them to the site. All the remnants of the asana and everything was there. You can, when some function takes place, you know, some fruits are lying here. Yagya takes place. Enough of fruits are there. Everybody is taking enough fruit, but still there are fruits lying there, coconut lying there. It's like that, there were so many celestial ingredients lying everywhere. So they had to believe that. But then they thought, the coward boys, oh, they bait Krishna. We also must bait Krishna. And what do they have? They had simple, they found one nice stone in Govardhan which is flat, found one nice stone which is like this, and they chose that place to make him sit down. And then, when they brought water from their house, and did a very simplistic abhishek. And Krishna describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that he enjoyed the abhishek done by the coward boys millions of times more than done by the demigods. So what is the meaning of all these things? That Krishna is not pleased by Aishwarya. Krishna is not pleased by your wealth. Krishna is not pleased by the pomp, by the opulence. He is simply pleased by the devotional sentiment. Because all this wealth, all this power, all the ingredients, all the materials, all the crowns and all the singhasanas and chhatras and everything is given by Krishna only. It is nothing of their own. It is all Krishna's property. And if you bring it and offer to Krishna, nothing great. It is simply great, still great, but it is only His. But devotion is yours. Today also we may offer something to Krishna. Only the devotion is ours. Except devotion, everything else is given by Krishna only. So because of that, the most simplest abhishek they performed, and Krishna was most pleased. With no opulence, no pomp, nothing was there. But the coward boys, so much of love, they don't even know that Krishna is Supreme Lord. And they bathed him as a friend, as a colleague, as a lovable personality, lovable friend. And that was enjoyed by Krishna much, much more than all the demigods abhishek. So Krishna Leela in Vrindavan Dham, no opulence can please Krishna here. However, opulence we want to maintain here also is not possible for to be maintained over here. It just melts away. After some time, all the opulence, all the city officiality, all the proper arrangements, organizations fail here. We make so many plans in Bombay or Vrindavan Yatra, and what happens here is what Krishna wants. All our plans actually appear to be topsy-turvy. When we go through the yatra, we understand. Yes, sir. So this is how Sri Govardhan Leela took place, and Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki. Giriraj gave the topmost of pleasure to Krishna, and the gopis who are the topmost devotees of Krishna, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself glorified gopis as the highest of all devotees. And those gopis are telling that Giriraj is the topmost of all Haridasas. See, somebody, Tom, Dick, Harry tells you that you are very great, you may be happy. But the biggest man comes and says, he is the greatest man. Then you can say, oh, he is saying this, that he must be great. So like that, the gopis who are worshipped as well as topmost devotees of Krishna, they are saying in Bhagavatam that amongst all the servants of Hari, Haridas, is Haridasa Varya, is the topmost of all. Because the pleasure that he gives Krishna, no one else can give. It is explained that when he was there and Krishna was walking on him, he is hard like stone. Now if you today want to play the stone, it is so hard. But whenever Krishna Balaram would come, he would become soft like butter. Wherever he is there, feet were touching, that was like butter all the time. So the mountain was always like wavy, you know. You can imagine, suppose the mountain becomes mountain of butter. It's not melting, but the butter is existing over there. And Krishna and Balaram are walking, how it will be? It's like too wavy and too soft and too pleasure giving. That's why there are many, many footprints of Krishna and Balaram on the mountain. Now they are disappearing one by one. So there is one thing that was taking place, and he would take the cows there, herd the cows would graze there, and he would go into caves with gopis, he would play hide and seek in the caves there, sometimes climb on the trees and sit on the trees and jump from there. All kinds of things Govardhan gave the ultimate pleasure to Krishna. Whatever Krishna needed, the best situations, the best weather, the best bashpa, what do you call it, you know, the when the flowers would blossom, and the pukesar, what is it called, pukesar in English?
Pollen.
The pollen, they would be carried by the breeze, and the ponds would give their moisture, and the breeze would carry the moisture and the pollen, and would come. The moisture would make the breeze cool, and the pollens will give the fragrance, and the breeze will carry it and go and touch the body of Krishna and make Krishna feel so cool and happy. This is given in Bhagavatam. But how Vayudev, Varunadev, everybody would come and please the Lord in the maximum capacity, whatever they have. And all was in around Govardhan. So Krishna fulfilled his promise as Ramchandra. He had promised him that I will do my most intimate pastimes. So except for, I think, Arishtasur, no demon is killed near Govardhan. Only loving pastimes. And there is something called as Ghati. Ghati is a thoroughfare on Govardhan. You can go from one side to another side. And Govardhan is in the size of peacock. And not standing peacock, lying peacock. His eyes are like on top. Generally when you see standing peacock, his eyes are like this. But his eyes are like this. Govardhan is like this actually. And this is Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, the two eyes. And the neck is Dan Ghati, where we had the big temple, white temple, and there was too much crowd, we were turning and all. That is a road which goes through and through. You can go from this side to that side to this side. That is called Ghati. And there are many Ghatis. One Ghati is there near Kusum Sarovar also. And there are many more Ghatis, used to be there when Krishna was there. And they would pass through like that. Because Barsana is one side, and the Ghati, and you come across, and go this side is Mathura. So Krishna would come from this side and stop them. And gopis would come from this side and, you know, try to go all the way to Mathura, and Krishna would stop them. So what took place in Sankrikor has taken place millions of times on Govardhan. One time Krishna was, his father was performing a big sacrifice in Govardhan. So all the gopis came there. They thought they will sell their butter and your ghee for that sacrifice. Also they thought, why to sell them? We will offer our offerings of our butter and ghee. So Krishna came to know, some friends informed him, the gopis are coming with potfuls of butter and ghee and yogurt. So Krishna stopped them on the way. And there also the same pastimes have taken place in different fashions. And there also Krishna told, they were stopped and they were teased by gopis, and then they were defeated by gopis, and gopis told them to become gopis again, and they also become gopis there also. And that's how, when they came as gopis there, they have returned their offense. I mean, in one sense they have repented for their offense. And there's a place called Dan Nivartan Kunda. That is where they came and fell at the feet of gopis and begged pardon from them. It's called Dana Nivartan Kunda. And like that there are many beautiful places. So about Parikrama, Radha Kund, Shyam Kund is a place. Arishtasura was killed. Arishtasura was a bull, and the gopis said, "You have killed a bull, the emblem of devotion, a dharma, is dharma pratik, the bull, and you have killed a bull." He said, "No, he was a demon. You know, he was a demon." He said, "We don't know anything. You have been contaminated by the sin of killing a bull. So we will not talk to you because you are sinful, and we will not do anything with you." He said, "I cannot live without you. You don't talk to me. What is the value of my life? So what should I do? Tell me. Please tell me something that I can atone for my sin." So Gopi said that you have to go to all the holy places in all the universe, take bath there, and then come back, and then we'll talk to you. That means few yugas will pass by the time he goes everywhere. So he said, "I don't have to go anywhere myself. I will call all the holy places, all the personalities, all the mountains, all the rivers, all the holy places, all the kundas, all the ponds, all the rivulets, everything I will call here." And immediately in the mind he just remembered them. And all the personalities of mountains and the holy places and the rivers, everybody became standing like this. "How can we serve you?" He said, "Please, holy places, enter here." He just dug his, he took his heel and just punched the ground and make a big hole in the ground. Said, "All the holy places, enter and reside over here. All the rivers, put your waters over here." So all the universal rivers, they put their waters, and very beautiful pond was formed. And that was named as Shyam Kund. And then Krishna took bath there. That means there were residing holy places and there was water. So he took a very nice bath there and he came. Now he is free. But then he said, "I will not talk to you, because you have sided the demon and talked from his side and argued with me. So now you are contaminated with the sin. Now unless you get purified by taking bath in all the holy places, we will not talk to you. And by the way, you can take bath in my pond. Ready made. Radharani refused. She said that the sin of killing a bull is deposited in that pond. We will not like to take bath in that pond. We will create our own pond. So they, what they did, by the time Mansiganga pastime had taken place, I will tell you a little later. And then they queued up from Radhakund. I mean, where Radhakund is today. It was not there that time. And they queued up from there to Mansiganga, where we began our parikrama, the big pond. And they carried pots together, and they would fill up one pot and they would transfer to all the gopis and Radharani and all the gopis. They broke their bangles and they dug a big hole in the ground and started pouring, you know, and they were all sweating. There was beautiful droplets of sweat coming on the foreheads of gopis, including Radharani. And Krishna said, why are you taking so much trouble? I told you, you can use my pond. He said, no, we are not going to use our pond. And similarly, at the same time, the demigoddesses, the rivers, were standing in the form of devis. They are also requesting, Devi, please, we have come to serve you. Give us a chance to serve you. All the holy places, mountains are begging. So Krishna said, look at them. At least I am not a good man, but they are all sincere devotees. They have come down all the way to serve you. Please give them some service. Please be kind and merciful to them. And then finally she agreed. And then everybody just rushed in that hole that she had created. And the beautiful Radhakund was formed. And then all the gopis, and by that same time also, there is the hole was dug next to the Shyamkund, and immediately it opened from below, and water from Shyamkund also rushed in Shyamkund, Radhakund. That is considered to be Milan of Radha and Krishna. And they took bath, and all the gopis were very happy. And when Krishna saw Radharani taking bath in that water, he declared that whoever will take bath in this water will be as dear to me as my dear Radharani is. And he will develop love for me as Radharani has for me. That is the benediction he gave. And he says, these waters are not different from Radharani. So we take bath everywhere, but we don't take bath in Radhakund. Unless one is completely free from all material desires, and unless one is established in Shuddha love, pure love for Krishna, is actually not qualified. Or unless one is allowed by his Guru Maharaj, you know, given permission to. We cannot just take bath, because devotees one time were jumping in the water of Radhakund. And then Prabhupada came to know. He said, how can you kick by your feet the waters of Radhakund? So Radharani herself, how can you swim? When swimming you have to kick the water and you have to go ahead. You cannot kick the water of Radhakund. Radharani herself. So he stopped them from taking bath. Later on he explained them how to take bath there. And then when devotees take bath there, we are supposed to take bath sometimes. We don't utter a word by mouth. We don't think anything else. And we don't jump in the water. We just bow down, offer our dandavas and offer prayers and beg pardon that we are so sinful, wretched, we are so contaminated with our material desires and sinful desires. Please forgive us by accepting us within your waters. And we slowly bow down, take 3 drops of water on the head, do Asman, Keshavaya Namaha, Narayana Namaha, Govindaya Namaha. And then we very respectfully, very seriously, repentfully enter the waters. And take 3 dips and go do same thing in Shyamkund. Take 3 dips, again take 3 dips in Radhakund, and no word in between, only Krishna's holy names, only prayers. Chant mantras of glorification and then come out. It's a very serious affair. We waited for about 12 years after we first went to Vrindavan. And then there was a big ceremony. Sachinandan Maharaj came and Radhanand Maharaj came and gave a big lecture to us for 45 minutes to create the mood. And then we took bath there. And every time we have to take bath, I have to take permission from Gurudev. So it's not just like, come on, let's go and take bath, you know. You have to take permission from Gurudev. Very sacred waters. And when Raghunath Das Goswami was there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and revealed the lost Radhakund Shyamkund. They actually reduced the size of only puddles. People had forgotten that Radhakund Shyamkund existed. Only some devotees knew. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his 2 months tour to Vrindavan and revealed Radhakund Shyamkund to the world again. And then Raghunath Das Goswami came and he renovated it. When he was renovating it, he was digging it. So Radhakund was dug nicely, and originally it was called as Kankan Kund, the kunda which is made by bangles of Radharani. And then it became Radhakund. So when he dug, he found original Kankan Kund inside the ground with nice borders and everything. And on that he developed the what existing Kund. So real Kankan Kund is inside Radha Kund, under the water. And then Sham Kund was being renovated. And in the meantime, I told you, see the well, I'll tell you afterwards. How many of you remember that well? Gopi Kuma, right. So when Das Goswami was renovating that, he was digging, no? He was digging here to make the border. So Pancha Pandavas came in his dream. And Yudhishthira Maharaj spoke to him, please don't cut us. We are staying there as form of trees, performing our bhajan. So because he was cutting the trees, because he was clearing the ground, you know. In the dream, Yudhishthira Maharaj came. That's why Radha Kund is square and Sham Kund is zigzag. It just goes like this and like this, like this. Because there were five trees before. Somehow we saw five of them were there, four of them had left their bodies and one of them was alive. Now the fifth one also is not there anymore. It's there, standing like this, but there's no life in it. So Sham Kund was dug like this and then it was available for everybody. And when they were renovating this, they were digging, no? Suddenly when they were smashing with their axes, blood flash came out. Like a fountain it came out. They were all scared. All the workers ran to tell Das Goswami that this is what happened. He said, stop immediately. So they stopped digging. And then in the night, Giriraj Govardhan appeared in the dreams of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he said, you have hit my tongue. So please now, dig it nicely from sides. Hey, Giriraj. Maybe let them go out, I think there. Just little space for them to play also. You can let them go in the garden here. In front of you. You open the door and put them in the garden. They are like clustered there, no? So then Govardhan, then Raghunath Das Goswami dug that particular stone very nicely. It was Jivva of Govardhan. And that was placed out of the whole pond, established there, and today also it is worshipped as Jivva of Govardhan. It's called Jivva Mandir, the tongue of Govardhan. And then Raghunath Das Goswami saw the whole pond was ready and made and everything, and people would come there to wash clothes and wash pots and, you know, do so many household things. So he thought that Radha Kund is not meant to wash clothes, you know. Radha Kund is Radharani herself. So he said, please don't wash over here. I will dig a nice well for you. That was the well that he dug for them. So they would fetch the water from there and they could do whatever household activities, but not to. So ideally speaking, one should not do all these things. One should not use soap, one should not use washing pots and clothes and all the household things, Radha Kund and Sham Kund. Raghunath Das Goswami was staying there at the bank of Radha Kund and he was so much absorbed in his bhajan. He built this whole Radha Kund. You know how? He had no money. He just thought that, oh, I wish Radha Kund should have been renovated. But then he thought, why should I get into worldly business? I have to organize money, this and that. It's not my business. I have given up all the business before to become a sadhu. And he just put the thought away. There was one great devotee at the same time, had brought a big amount of wealth and he wanted to offer to Badri Vishal in Badrinath. So Badri Vishal came in his dreams in Badrinath only, there only, when he was offering. He said, please don't give me the wealth. There is one sadhu in Radha Kund in Vrindavan Dham near Govardhan. I want the Radha Kund to be renovated by this money. So don't give it over here, go and give there. So he took the wealth, I traveled all the way from Himalayas to Vrindavan, kept searching. Who is Raghunath Das Goswami? He was inquiring from everybody. Finally he came to that dilapidated, you know, not renovated structure. That was all very dilapidated. And then he found Das Goswami. And he said, Badri Vishal has ordered me to give this wealth to you for using in his service. At that time he just struck to him, I had desired to renovate it. And Krishna just has responded to my desire. All the way arranged all the wealth to come right in my hand. So it must be Krishna's desire. So I must do it as Krishna's service, not as my desire. And that's how he was. He built such beautiful Radha Kund and Sham Kund, but did not build any hut for himself, even to perform his bhajan. So one time he was absorbed in the bhajan and tiger came to drink water in Radha Kund. And Krishna appeared from other side and chased the tiger away. and this was being watched by Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami told, your chanting is meant to serve the Lord, not to take service from the Lord. You are by this way engaging the Lord in your service. If you build a hut, you will be safe. But still he did not attend to that request. Next time in the scorching heat, not like yesterday, in the middle of the summer, it is 55 degrees centigrade. Your skin actually burns when you are in the sun. And Das Goswami was performing his Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting in meditation. And his skin was actually burning. But he was totally beyond the bodily understanding. And he was absorbed in the bhajan. And that time Radharani appeared there. And she spread her upper cloth on him. And she was standing in the sun. And there were droplets of sweat falling from her head. Even that was observed by Sanatan Goswami. And this time he said, this time you engaged Radharani. She was suffering and she was giving her shade of her upper cloth to you to protect you. Now you must at least build your hut. So he built a small hut. Where you see a tomb is there, that is his hut actually. In the course of, there are many pastimes took place there. In the course of time he passed away. And in those days, the Muslims would come and dig the samadhis of Hindu sannyasis, you know, and massacre them and insult them by doing that they would express their hatred towards Hindus. So that is why Jiva Goswami was the next in line Acharya. When he saw Das Goswami left his body, the custom was to bury the body of a sannyasi and make a samadhi, but still he burnt his body and put his ashes in samadhi. So that by chance the Muslims come and break the samadhi and take his body and mutilate the body or insult the body, he uses intelligence in time, place, circumstances and actually place the ashes there. So body is there but in the form of ashes, and the tomb is made. Where we went and had darshan of temple, the arati was going on, and then there was a white tomb. There was Das Goswami's tomb. Anyway, Radhakund Shamgun itself will take few hours if you describe that. All the acharyas have performed bhajan there. All the deities, when they are moving from here, from Vrindavan, Madan Mohanji, Govindji, Gopinathji, Radha Vinodji, they all have stayed for some time Radhakund. They have been worshipped there and then they have moved to Jaipur from there. Then we go to Kusum Sarovar from there, the big pond. No? There Krishna became a Mali and they were all plucking flowers in Kusum 1. And then he became a Mali and with a big stick he came and he chased all the gopis away by his threat, by his banging the stick on the ground. All the gopis were plucking flowers and they realized that Mali is coming. They said, Radharani, run, everybody run. We are being caught very soon. Please run, run, run. And they were running. While they were running, Radharani also heard the signal, warning signal. And she wanted to really run. But somehow she was in such bushes that all was full of thorns. So she would try to separate her upper cloth from one bush. The upper cloth would get stuck in another bush. And like that, she just couldn't get out and all her flowers fell from her hands and she was sweating with fear. And by the time the Mali came closer and stood with a great angry posture in front of her, gazing at her with angrily. And by the time the voices calling Radharani also become very feeble because they had gone far distance. Radhe, Radhe, please run, run, run. And the voices disappeared. And the Mali was standing with anger and Radharani was trembling in fear, sweating, you know, and really crying. He suddenly turned in Krishna. He became Krishna. She was like, relieved. Oh, it was you. Why you scared us so much? Why did you do it like this? He said, today I wanted to meet you alone. So I had to chase the gopis away. Says, now what we do? Generally, what do you do with these flowers? We go to Jamuna and wash the flowers, because now the flowers have fallen on the ground, they have all become dirty. What do you do with the flowers? We make garlands for you and we offer it to you. So let's go to Jamuna. So no, no. What people will say, I'm alone with you walking. I'm feeling very shy walking with you alone. So don't worry, we'll bring Jamuna over here. Then Krishna dug by his heel again, a big hole, and invited Jamuna to come there. And Jamuna came and filled her waters, and that is a beautiful Kusum Sarovar there. Then Krishna washed the flowers of Radharani, and instead of she making garland for him, Krishna decorated her hair with those flowers. And just next to the Kusum Sarovar, there is a small temple, Radha Kusum Ban Bihari. And there the murti is, Krishna is sitting behind, not at the side of Radharani, sitting behind and holding one nice comb in the hand, holding hair in the hand and combing. And Radharani is holding mirror in the hand and looking Krishna. As I told you, Shringarvat, yes. This Leela has taken place in Kusum Sarovar also and Shringarvat also. And Kusum Sarovar is a very beautiful place. Narad Muni has become Gopi there. Madhavi Gopi gave Narad Muni bath there. And Narad became Naradiya Gopi. And like Shiva was taken inside. Kusum Sarovar has an invisible lotus flower in that. In between the lotus flower, Radha Krishna are sitting. And the main 8 petals of the lotus flower, all the gopis are standing. And there are many, many, many more lotus petals where all the other gopis are standing. And they are singing songs and dancing and appeasing Krishna and Radha. And they are sitting on the bijuvel throne. And Narad Muni is brought in by Madhavi Gopi holding hand and given chamar. And he has done seva. And what is the secret of chamar seva? Chamar goes like this, you see Krishna. Chamar goes like this, you see Krishna. And when chamar goes like this, you don't see Krishna. When it goes on this side, you see Krishna. Goes this side, you see Krishna. So, chamara dulaya kave haribo mukha chandra. When they are serving with chamar, the divine couple, their focus is on the lotus face, the beautiful face. And they really relish it. And then afterwards, Narad Muni, Narada Gopi was brought back to the southern petal, southern end of the Kusum Sarovar, again given bath. And then he became Narad Muni again. And he was so ecstatic. And Radharani ordered him that you write Narada Bhakti Sutra over here by staying here only. You please stay here only. He said, no, I am cursed by Daksha. Daksha had cursed me that you cannot stay in any place more than 3 days. How can I stay here? He said, don't worry. That curse was for the material world. This is my home. The curse is not applicable over here. You can stay as long as you want. So again he told that all the tirthas are different from Dham. Dham is the original home of Krishna. And all the material curses are not applicable over there. Narad Muni stayed very happily and we could not go there till off the track of the Parikrama, Narad Kunda. And he sang beautiful songs there. Narad Muni Bajaye Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Many beautiful songs. And he wrote the whole textbook of how to worship the deities of the Lord. Archa Vigraha Paddhati, he wrote down there, called as Narada Bhakti Sutra. And then we went ahead, Shamuan was there, where there was a Ratna Singhasan, and Vyomasur stole it, that is Shamuan. Then there is Gwalpokra, where the cowherd boys would gather together and eat their tiffins in the afternoon. Then we went to Mansiganga, in the end. And Mansiganga is a place where one time Nanda Maharaj was sitting and listening to the glories of Ganga Devi through some sadhus in the company of all the Vaishnavas. And he heard the story that one time Garuda caught a snake, which is his food, and he was catching it in his two claws and he was flying. By the way, Ganga came in between, so he lowered himself down. All the birds are going up and down like that, so he lowered himself down. And the snake is a long thread-like animal, right? So he can only hold in some part and some parts are hanging. Mouth is hanging and tail is hanging. So the hanging tail, when he lowered himself down, touched the waters of Ganga. And the snake, the personality of the snake, who was in the snake body, the soul, suddenly was transformed into Vishnu Duta. He got Sarupya Mukti. He was transformed by the power of touch of water of Ganga into four-armed Vishnu personality. Those who stay in Vaikuntha, four-armed people, all look like Vishnu. They are not Vishnus, but they are Vishnu Das, all the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Vishnu. Suddenly he saw, the snake in my hand became four-armed personality. So he looked down, he said, this person has become Mukta, he has become delivered now. So instead of carrying him as his food, he put him on his back and took him to Vaikuntha, his destination. So imagine this story is being heard by Nanda Maharaj in an assembly of devotees. So Nanda Maharaj just stood up there only. So what happened? I want to go right now to take bath in Ganga. He was so inspired by the story. My God, just by touching the tip of the snake became liberated, eligible to stay in Vaikuntha. I want to go right now to take bath. And Krishna also was there in the assembly. He said, what is this? Baba, you want to go out of Vrindavan? I don't like anybody going out of Vrindavan. You don't need to go out of Vrindavan. I will bring the river over here only. So they laughed heartily, big hearty laugh they had. Look, our Kanha is going to bring Ganga over here. She is there, on north side, and he is going to bring it over here. He said, come with me. And they actually went with him. He took all of them at the center of Govardhan, the middle part of the Govardhan. And in the heart, he invited Ganga to come there. And from his heart, Ganga Devi appeared sitting on a crocodile. In front of everybody's eyes, she appeared. And she said, how can I serve you, my lord? Nandamani is looking, what? Lord, my baby is Lord. Mother Ganga worshipable is praying for service. He said, yes, please pour your waters over here. My father wants to take bath. Then in front of their eyes, sitting on crocodile, Mother Ganga, looking all opulent Devi, poured her waters over there in the middle of, and like an ocean, the pond was created. And then they had to believe that Krishna actually brought Ganga. So then he took bath. All of them took bath and decided not to go anywhere else but to take bath there. So it's called as Manasi Ganga. The Ganga came from the mind of Krishna. And then in that waters, Krishna has done lot of Nauka Vihar pastimes. Anyway, you have to come really for many days here to hear all the beautiful pastimes of what Krishna, how he did boating with gopis, how he cheated them many times, you know, how he looted them with their butter and everything in the boat, and how he threatened them in the boat, and wonderful pastimes. Then we went ahead to Govindkund. I already told you Govindkund is a place where Krishna was bathed. And then we went to Apsarakund, and Apsarakund is a place where Apsaras came there with water. And some of you were a little bit behind. Apsarakund is a place where all the 24 main Vishnu incarnations of Krishna eternally perform their pastimes there. And when Krishna appeared as Krishna there, along with the different 24 incarnations as Vishnu performing their own pastimes in their own form there eternally, Krishna additionally performed all those 24 incarnations Leela by himself. So one time he became Varaha, started digging the earth over there. One time he became Ramchandra. Now all the cowherd boys became monkeys, joined him there. And one time Krishna performed Rasleela over there. When he became so ecstatic, that the gopis melted in Apsarakund. Radharani and gopis just melted in the waters of Apsarakund. And Krishna melted in Navalkund. Then we went to Puchrika Lota from there. Then we went to Surubikund. That is where Surubi pleaded for Indra. And Krishna and Indra repented. It's a place for repentance. Then we walked from there and we came on the other side. And Yatipura. Yatipura is where Madhavendra Puri stayed. And he revealed Gopalji. I showed you a temple on the mountain, white temple. So there Gopalji was revealed by Madhavendra Puri and worshipped in that temple. It's also Mukharavinda, where he actually ate all the Chappan Bhoga, all the unlimited offerings of the mountains. That is where he ate all those things. There are two Mukharavindas, but Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tell us that the Mukharavinda at Mansinganga is the most bona fide. And the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya people, they accept that the Mukharavinda at Yatipura is the bona fide one. Anyway, both are Mukharavindas, both are bona fides. And it is said that from there Krishna would jump on the mountain many times. There are trees there. He would climb down the tree and climb the tree and jump on Govardhan. Like that. So from there we went ahead, and at Mansinganga there is one more pastime took place, which is on the other side of Govardhan, that Lord Shiva resides over there as Chakreshwar Mahadev. Because one more thing I forgot to mention to you in the pastime of Govardhan, that Krishna ordered Chakra to revolve around the whole area of Govardhan in such a way that no water should fall on the ground. Everything should be evaporated before it touches the ground around Govardhan. The chakra was revolving so fast that no water actually fell down on the ground. Water fell down everywhere else, but not around Govardhan. And finally, when the pastime took place, chakra came and stayed at one place. That is called Chakra Tirtha. And that is where Lord Shiva came and resided as Chakreshwar Mahadev. And Sanatana Goswami came there to perform his bhajan. And there were lots of mosquitoes there. And he was unable to concentrate. While the Mother Moon temple was under construction, Sanatana Goswami was on the move. And sometime he stayed at Govardhan, at Mansinganga. And he was too disturbed by mosquitoes. He thought, I should leave this place now. I should go to some other place. Lord Shiva was enjoying his company when he is residing there at Chakreshwar Mahadev. So Lord Shiva went to heavens and met the demigod who is in charge of insects. And he told them, chase all the insects away from this place. I want to keep the company of Sanatana Goswami and I don't want him to get disturbed. And then all the mosquitoes, all the insects disappeared from that place. Even today also, the place where Sanatana Goswami's bhajan kutir is there, there are no insects. They will be hounding you everywhere in Govardhan around, but that place is free from all the insects. And Lord Shiva thus enjoyed the company of Sanatana Goswami. This is one past time there, it's a nice place. Then we went to Uddhava Kund from there. Uddhava came with message from Krishna for gopis, and he thought he is a very learned person, very close to Krishna, very influential, very powerful, and definitely solve the misery of gopis. Krishna said, they are crying in my separation, and you please go and help them. He said, yes, he had a lot of plans, he'll teach them yoga and everything. He had very beautiful organizational plan from Dwarka, opulent place. A very official personality came in the chariot. He had blue body like Krishna only. They first mistaken him as Krishna only. Then they saw him closely, oh, he's not Krishna, he's somebody else. Then they felt shy, and at some places he found them performing yoga. So he thought, I will teach them yoga, they are already doing yoga. So he inquired from them, what yoga you are doing? He said, we are doing yoga to forget Krishna. Whole the world is doing yoga to catch Krishna in the heart and keep him somewhere here. Somehow he is running away, mind is running away somewhere else, and we want to establish Krishna in the heart by the process of yoga. And Gopi is saying, we are trying to take that. Three places he is bent and he is fixed in our heart, and our heart also has been adjusted in the shape to accommodate him in the three bending form. Now we are having great difficult time to take him out of the heart, because heart also has taken the shape of crookedness. So we are performing yoga sitting at the bank of Jamuna to take him out of our heart. He said, this yoga I have not learned. I learned a yoga to take Krishna in the heart. So he was completely clean bowled, you know, in our cricket language. He just completely was mesmerized, completely bewildered. He couldn't understand what devotion they had, and he said, I thought I was so close to Krishna. I am the closest devotee of Krishna, and I have so many plans to help them out of their misery. Unki peeda haran karne ke liye mere paas bahut yojnaye thi, but I have failed in applying even one method because they are too good in devotion. And there is something beyond my level also. I thought that I was the highest platform with Krishna, eating, sleeping, hunting, choking, everything with Krishna. And here are the people who are far from Krishna, but they are so close to Krishna in bhava. That I feel I am nothing. So he was like, you know, completely on the level of new realizations. He went back to Dwarka, gave all the report of his visit, and he said, I am leaving. So where are you going? So I am going back to Vrindavan. What? Why? No, I want to become a blade of grass. So why you want to become a blade of grass? You already have such a beautiful personality. You are my senapati. You are my cousin brother. He said, I have realized that I must achieve the dust from the lotus feet of all these village girls. And because I am an official personality, I am a senapati of Dwarkadish, and I have my position and my all entourage and my opulence and everything, no way they will ever give me their dust. They'll feel so shy. They are simple village girls. And I feel so insignificant in devotion in front of them. I must get the dust. And I have realized that if I become blade of grass, I have seen gopis walk very easily on the blade of grass. There is no hesitation. So if I become blade of grass, then they will walk on me very naturally. And I even don't want to embarrass them by asking from their dust. No. If you ask devotees, Prabhuji, aapka doll powder dito na. What is doll powder? Dust of lotus feet. But devotees don't give. They feel they are not qualified. Similarly, gopis will not give. But if I become blade of grass, they will walk, and when they walk, I will get the dust and I will get some realization. So this greatest personality, Uddhava, his cousin brother of Krishna, senapati of Krishna, so close to Krishna, and every possible thing that every devotee will want, he has already achieved that position, came back to Vrindavan. Performed tapasya to become blade of grass, not to become one with Krishna. Performed tapasya to become blade of grass, the most insignificant thing. And actually he became blade of grass. And that blade of grass we call as Gulmalata. He is residing there in the form of Gulmalata. And thus he achieved the praja realization. And why Krishna sent him? But Krishna knew that he had already thought himself that I am the topmost of devotee of Krishna. Because I am in so close to Krishna, no one else in Dwarka is close to Krishna like this. So Krishna said that now he has graduated from Dwarka University. He has to now do PhD in Braj University, the next school he has to go to. So he sent them with this job to the next educational institute, that is Braj Bhumi, which is only love. And that's how he actually graduated from Aishwarya to Madhurya. And he's still residing there at Uddhav Kund. He performed tapasya over there. And he sat there and did tapasya. That is Uddhav Kund. And then we came around and, you know, finished our parikrama. Anyway, there are many more places there of wonderful pastimes. Sometime you have to come more days, not come in short trip like this. Krishna will reveal to you all his pastimes. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Haribol. So what is your